Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome back to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life here on the 805. And of course, these are some of my best ofs. And my first guest today is going to be Andrew Plepler, Bank of America, Better Money Habits. Also Judith Salerno from Susan G. Komen, Breast Cancer Awareness. And then Javier Rodriguez, Kidney Disease Treatment Plan. And then we've also got Dr. Gerald Rowditch and Gail Sperling, Tips to Improve Communications Between Physicians and Patients. And again, if you're just tuning in with us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show at the brighter side of the 805. Of course, we're here every Saturday from 6 to 8, and then again from 2 to 3. I've talked to Andrew before. We've got Andrew Plepler from Bank of America, Global CSR Executive. We're going to be talking about millennials chronically stressed out about money. Wow, what a perfect time for this, because here we are. We just had the biggest time, 25% up, I guess, for the holidays, Black Friday. And still, a lot of us are still anxietied about our money, and it's showing on us. So we've got some results from a report that Andrew's going to be talking about. And again, if you're just tuning in with us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Andrew, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Talk to us a little bit about some of the findings and the report that you did, and just let's just start off with who you are.
I'm Andrew Plepler, and I manage global corporate social responsibility at Bank of America.
Okay, and so what is it that you are looking at, and why? Let's start off there.
Well, the millennials is just an interesting population. They're the most significant emerging force in the global economy, and we wanted to understand their financial acumen and their financial their feelings about financial well-being and financial security.
Perfect, perfect. And so what were some of the results of the report that you did?
Well, it's sort of the best of times and the worst of times. The encouraging news is that millennials are feeling confident about their ability to manage their finances. They're paying attention. They're getting good information and trying to apply good practices. The contrast is they're also feeling a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress, which we feel is understandable given a challenging global economy, a challenging job market, high cost of living, particularly in cities like Los Angeles, and student debt that for many of them is a huge burden.
Yeah, no, I'll vouch for that. And again, for anybody that's just tuning in with us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show at the Brighter Side of Life. We're talking with Andrew Plepler, and he's from Bank of America. And really, we're looking at better money habits. Do you think that we've gotten better?
I think we have. I think there's a level of awareness following if there's any silver lining to the financial crisis. It certainly was a wake-up call to all of us to manage our financial lives in ways where we are prepared for potential setbacks and prepared for the situation where the job market gets more challenging, where housing prices go down, and where the stock market goes down, all of which we now are all too painfully aware can happen.
Right. Andrew, question for you. I know you talk about the millennium, okay? And obviously, because that's probably the next person that's going to, you know, the next generation that's going to retire, correct? At least they're thinking about it. They're looking at their finances. They're seeing if they did a good job. What about our young boomers, and, you know, what would you say about them?
Well, look, this survey was of millennials, and we focused on millennials, but much of the findings, as you're alluding to, really apply to all of us. It's why we entered into the partnership with Khan Academy to develop the website bettermoneyhabits.com. Khan, for anybody who doesn't know, is Sal Khan. He's a real innovator in education about breaking down complicated topics into accessible, digestible forms. That's the objective of bettermoneyhabits.com, to provide people information that they can utilize at a point in time in their lives when it matters. And whether you're a millennial or you're a senior or you're a parent who wants to teach their children better practices, there's information that can help you make better decisions and become better prepared to face the eventuality of strain on your financial life. And that's what we all need to be prepared for.
I love it. Andrew, I'm looking at bettermoneyhabits.com, and it is. It's got some great tips on here. 7 reasons to check your credit report. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, sure. I mean, a credit report, you can affect your credit score, and as people know, your credit score can affect your interest rate on a car loan, on a mortgage, on your credit card, and is something you want
to
pay close
to your life, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you want to pay close attention, and if there are errors on there that are hurting your score, you want to make sure that those get corrected. So it's something you want to be vigilant about, and if your score is low, you want to learn some habits that help bring that score up so you can get the best interest rate available, which over time will really affect your financial health.
And I learned this really early on. It's almost like pay your bills before you eat is kind of like been my habit. And I have 4 children. I always tell them, like, if you can't afford it, don't buy it, because over time, that report, that credit report, your numbers are going to help you through your life. And there's a couple things that I've learned just to have, if you have a credit card, 1, pay it off every month or don't buy it or don't use it, correct? But another thing is revolving accounts. I never realized that that actually goes against you.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot, and again, there's a lot as simple to your point. You know, if you can't pay off the whole credit card, and there's a video on the BetterMoneyHabits.com website about this, certainly make the minimum payment, because what you don't want are penalties from failing to make the minimum payment. Those are the things that will really affect your score. So, you know, ideally, you do what you do and pay off the whole card, but if you can't, there are still more financially prudent ways to manage it.
Right, and I totally agree. And also, like you said, those late charges kill you. God, I love it. What a great site right here. I want to recommend all of our listeners definitely to go check this out. There's a guide to key credit terms, because that's, you kind of sign your life, on there. And just questions to ask your bank and estimating your child's cost of college. We always think, we'll be fine. Well, over the years, sometimes you're not so fine, right?
Exactly. And that's, there's some very short-term learnings on bettermoneyhabits.com that you can go to for immediate topics like budgeting and short-term savings and understanding your paycheck. But to your point, there are also tools to start thinking about longer-term issues. How do I pay down my student debt? How do I get prepared to buy a home? How do I think about retirement? And so there's something that's very targeted on the site for where you are in your life cycle.
I love it. And I'm looking at one title right here. I love this. The Business of Life. Really, that's what we're talking about. And, sometimes we think that, when we were younger, I hope that when we were younger, you lived paycheck to paycheck. We hope that, you put a little bit of money away, you could sleep at night, you've got some reserve, And you know, you really looked at your business of life. Andrew Puffett, how wonderful to talk to you again. I wish you lots of happy holidays. Where can we find out more about you and more about, again, the site?
Well, for the site, go to bettermoneyhabits.com, and we think that there's something for everyone on there. So I think that's the best place for information, and thank you for having me.
You got it. All right, have a really great day, and we'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Looking for a new restaurant to try in Camarillo? Join Mission Oaks Cafe for a fresh and local dining experience. Mission Oaks Cafe now features a new menu, elegant wine pairing nights, authentic Mexican tamale Tuesdays, the Build-A-Burger, ribeye Fridays, live music every weekend, and a full bar. Mission Oaks Cafe can also take care of all your catering orders, big or small. Open 7 days a week. Call 805-482-1022 to make a reservation. That's 805-482-1022. Visit them online at missionoakscafe.com. Will you be stressed or serene in 2016? You know, we can't change what's outside of us or fix others. So how do we cope? Audrey Walzer's science-based Learn Mindfulness Meditation course has taught Kim Pagano and hundreds of others in the 805 the tools of mindfulness to downregulate the stress response, even when life gets difficult. Attend a free introduction to mindfulness and register now for upcoming classes in Westlake, Camarillo, and Ventura. Visit mindfulnessmeditationwithaudrey.com. Be serene in 2016. That's mindfulnessmeditationwithaudrey.com.
When it comes to traditions, Somas Nut House comes to mind. Nuts, candies, trail mix, dried fruit, and gift baskets are affordable for all your needs. Also perfect for your corporate clients. Available online and can be shipped anywhere in the U.S. at www.somasnuthouse.com. Somas Nut House is a landmark in Ventura County and was founded by Stephen Resnick and his parents. Grandma Resnick is now 100 years young, and she continues to provide input to grandchildren, Rebecca and Jeremy, as they carry on this family tradition at Somas Nut House, located at 4475 Los Angeles Avenue, right off the 118 in Somas. Call Somas Nut House at 1-800-266-NUTS. That's 1-800-266-NUTS. That's right. Everyone needs nuts in their life.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show. Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life, where we talk about anything that can add value to our lives. And I'm so excited to be talking with Judith Salerno. I actually did Making Strides Against Breast Cancer last week. We're doing it again this week. We were out in Thousand Oaks. Now we're going to be out in Ventura. It's October 1st. This is what it's all about. We're talking with National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're talking with CEO of world's largest breast cancer organization, focusing on finding better treatments for more and the most aggressive forms of disease and ensuring equal access to care. Judith Salerno, welcome. I know we talked last year. Thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show again.
Glad to be back, Kim.
Thank you. Thank you. Have we made any strides against, you know, every year we work to make another birthday, to do something to make a difference in our world. What are we doing now?
Well, you know, we've learned so much about this disease, and we've reduced mortality rates by a third. 5-year survival for early stage breast cancer is at 99%, but we still have 40,000 women a year dying of this disease. And we know that it disproportionately affects people who are people of color. African American, Hispanic women have a much higher death rate from breast cancer, and we know that there's so much more we have to do. The good news is that we have seen so many advances just in the past year in immunotherapy, in looking at what our understanding of the genetics of this disease are. And we know that when we understand the biology, that we'll be able to design better and more targeted treatments And I think we're looking at a future in 5 or 10 years where everybody will have a specific treatment for their tumor type. So it will be much more targeted and much more effective. So we're on the verge of so many new treatments. It's in a very exciting time in breast cancer research.
Wow. And can you talk about your story and how you got involved?
Well, you know, I've been with Susan G. Komen for 2 years now, but I've been participating in the races for many, many years. I have a number of really close friends who have had breast cancer and survived breast cancer, and every year we come together in Washington, D.C. for the National Race for the Cure, and we have Team Judy, and this year we had 28 of my friends there participating. And I just heard recently that a very dear cousin of mine who had survived breast cancer 15 years ago was recently diagnosed with metastatic disease. That she has metastatic cancer in her brain. She's more a friend, a close friend, although she is a relative. And, you know, I'm just so pleased that she got treatment earlier this year and she was able to see, to be there for the birth of her first grandchild. And you know, it was a wonderful day for her because she wasn't sure when she found out that the disease had recurred that she would live to see that.
Yeah, I just lost my son's girlfriend's mom, 48 years old, in pancreas cancer. And I know we're talking about breast cancer, but it hits so many families, and it's such an ugly disease, and yet we're making so many strides forward in this. And so, again, you know, my heart just goes out to everybody that is working to make a difference, and that's what this is all about. I do want to remind anybody that's just joining us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. There is a brighter side. We're talking with Judith Salerno. We're talking about making strides, really. And this being October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. What are some of the things and what are some of the goals that we can do and that Susan G. Komen is doing?
Well, you know, first I want to tell your listeners that there are things that they can do to reduce their risk of developing breast cancer. All those healthy lifestyle things that we tell people, they do make a difference. Maintaining a healthy weight, getting regular physical activity, limiting your alcohol intake. And we know that breastfeeding, for example, can have a protective factor, can be a protective factor against developing breast cancer later in life. But it's important that you understand your family history, that you know if there were diagnoses of cancer in your family, what type of cancers, particularly breast cancer, because that can make a difference in how and when you get screened for cancer. And, of course, you know your body better than anyone, so if there are any changes, to immediately seek attention, because we know that early diagnosis and early treatment can improve outcomes. So we are doing all we can to increase awareness of those things and to help people understand the signs and symptoms of the disease, but to provide the information so that women can be empowered to maintain and manage their own health and healthcare. So, knowledge is power, and I encourage everyone out there who's listening to you to go to our website, Komen.org, and learn more about breast cancer and breast cancer risk.
And here is, basically what I'm hearing is we need to be our own advocate, correct? We need to listen to our bodies. We need to find out, they always say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. If your parents have gone through something, take note of that. That's where we come from, correct?
Yes, I believe that, we should take control of our own health. But that takes awareness to begin with. And we know that there are still many, many communities in our country where that even if there is an awareness, there isn't access to services. So it's a complicated equation, but we have to be there to help support people who need the services, to increase awareness among those who are still stigmatized or afraid of diseases of the breast, and also to provide the information in a way that people can understand and absorb and use.
Right. And, of course, self, examinations are so important. I know a lot of people think, you know, it's almost embarrassing or to do it, but it, that could save your life, correct?
Well, you know, there's less emphasis these days on self-exam, but just knowing your body more, and you know when there's something changed, something different, something wrong, and that's when you should seek attention. We have 7 affiliates in all of California who are there for people in your state to help them understand what they can do and what resources are available in their community. So I encourage everybody to link up with their local Komen affiliate in California. We have a very active, important affiliate in L.A. County.
Now, Judith, if somebody just got diagnosed, it's such a, you know, I'm sure all the thoughts and scariness and all the crazy feelings that you're going through, where would they start?
Well, I would encourage them to, if they don't know what their local resources are, to call our breast care helpline. To not only get information, but to link up with resources in your community. We're in 111 communities around the country. We have 7 large affiliates, as I said, in California. And our helpline number is 1-877-GO-KOMEN, which is 1-877-465-6636. And if you don't want to talk about it, you can go to our website and read about it, Komen.org, and there's a wealth of information for people who are going through the breast cancer journey. We want to be there. We want to make sure that no woman or man with breast cancer goes through this journey alone.
Thank you so much, Judith. Again, Judith Salerno, and we're talking about National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and of course, Dr. Judith, I apologize, Salerno is president and CEO of Susan G. Komen. And you know, I this year I really stepped it up. I just want to be involved. It's such an amazing journey to watch the fight of all these women and men, because there was a man last week that have breast cancer. Men have to be aware of this too. But not only that, just to really know that you're not alone, and there's so many amazing people out there to help us get through all of this. And we appreciate you being part of the Kim Pagano Show.
Thank you. I'm inspired every day by people who are helping with this fight. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Have a really great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have you ever thought about long-term care? MKN Financial Group provides long-term care planning and insurance that can be custom designed to cover expenses as you grow older. Long-term care can take place in the comfort of your own home, in adult daycare centers, and at assisted living or skilled facilities. With so many options to choose, Marcy Nunn can help you design a plan that is tailored for you. Call her today at 805-644-3535. That's 805-644-3535. The word mindfulness is everywhere today, and for good reason. In our frantic 24/7 world, managing stress is a necessity, and mindfulness helps you be both highly effective and at ease all day long. Audrey Walzer has given hundreds of people in the 805 science-based mindfulness tools to downregulate the stress response through her Learn Mindfulness Meditation courses. Register now for September classes in Westlake or in Camarillo and learn to stress less. Visit the mindfulness page at learnmindfulmeditationwithaudrey.com. That's learnmindfulmeditationwithaudrey.com. Surfaces USA is your natural stone and tile superstore. Come browse the largest selection of natural stone, glass, porcelain, ceramic, and composite tile and slabs. Choose your kitchen or bath countertops from our rich selection of unique and exotic granite, marble, and onyx slabs. Ask about our installation project management and free design consultation services. Call us today and mention the Kim Pagano Show and get 10% off your order. 805-604-1568. That's 805-604-1568. Or visit us online at surfacesusa.com. Conveniently located at 380 South Lombard Street in Oxnard. Surfaces USA. We'll help you make your dream home a reality. MJ Holt is the owner of Thermal Imaging of SoCal, where she assists people who want to know what's happening in their body right now. Approved by the FDA in 1982, DITI is an unsurpassed, safe, non-invasive screening technique that detects the sympathetic nervous system that reacts and responds to pain, pathology, injury, or dysfunction anywhere in the body that may go undetected with X-ray and other tools. Thermal Imaging of SoCal is located in Agoura Hills, here to serve by appointment. Call Thermal Imaging of SoCal when you are ready, 310-463-2318, or visit www.tiofsc.com. Biodental Healing is not your ordinary dental office. We believe in a different approach to dentistry. Holistic Dentistry. Holistic Dentistry aims to help you enhance the overall health of your mind, body, and spirit through the power of alternative dental care. Experience our VIP touch, including removal of dangerous mercury fillings with extreme safe protective protocols. We even match your body with the ideal filling materials personalized for you. Located just off the 101 in Newberry Park. Schedule an appointment today with Dr. David Villarreal. Call 805-375-2233. That's 805-375-2233.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life, where we talk about anything that can add value to our life. And today we've got Dr. Gerald Raddick joining us, and also Gail Sperling. And Dr. Raddick is MD, Clinical Research Division, Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center, and Gail Sperling is MPH and Senior Information Research Specialist. Today we're going to be talking about the current guidelines for the treatment of chronic, and I hope I can say this right, could you help me out here?
Myeloid,
okay,
yeah.
Leukemia. And for anyone out there that's just joining, it's actually a rare blood cancer. And so we're going to find out a little bit more about it, some of the tests and some of the findings. And, of course, this is always, we always think of things like this that could add some value in some way to a family member or to somebody that's, going through these tough times. So, again, welcome Dr. Raddick and Gail Sperling.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about both of yourselves. Dr. Raddick, you are a member of the Clinical Research Division?
Yes, I'm a physician that both takes care of leukemia patients, and I'm a laboratory physician, and I'm a geneticist. I was sort of involved in developing these tests that we're going to talk about today.
Great. And Gail Sperling?
And I'm an information specialist with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Wow. Okay, great. And so tell us a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today. What are the key findings from this recent survey of the physicians and patients, right? And I guess the abbreviation is CML?
Correct. So let me just do a little background for your listeners.
Thank you.
Leukemia is a cancer of the blood cells. A CML is one of those types of leukemias. And before there was effective therapy, this is a type of leukemia that was fairly slow growing, but almost all patients would succumb to the disease in 6 to 7 years. Now we have really quite effective therapy that really has made this into a chronic disease where most patients can live near normal lifespans or even be cured. So it's been kind of a revolution.
Wow, that's amazing right there. Look how far we've come.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the really interesting things about CML is that every case will have the same type of mutation that really drives the disease. And so that's why we have therapy now that targets that mutation. But that mutation is also a fingerprint that distinguishes the CML cells from normal cells. So we've now been able to develop tests that really can pick the needle out of the haystack. So you can actually now detect one CML cell in a background of up to a million normal cells in the peripheral blood. So you can now monitor patients when they're on therapy in a relatively non-invasive way and really see how their disease is responding and see if you need to change therapy or stay the course, or in some cases, for people who get spectacular responses, even get off therapy.
Really? So the importance of the PCR testing is really to manage and monitor it?
Correct.
And what are the symptoms? I mean, let's back all the
right,
way
up. Right, right. So actually CML, in developing countries, most CML are detected on sort of routine physicals. It's a disease, like most cancers, of aging. So the median age of diagnosis is in the mid-60s. And often people are actually feeling fine. They go to get a routine physical and the like, and their white blood cell count, your white blood cell count, mine runs somewhere between 5,000 to 10,000. They'll have a white blood cell count of 100,000, 200,000.
Is that a warning sign right there?
That's a huge warning sign. When that would happen, then you would get confirmatory testing with some of these tests, for instance, a PCR test, that would, because the CML has a distinct genetic mutation that you can identify it as CML. And once you did that, you would put on specific types of therapy and then monitored with these tests.
And now, is there like tiredness with it? Is there any other signs?
Yeah, some patients, if they've really had the disease for a long time, their spleen gets large, and so often they'll be tired, and also they'll fill up quickly because their spleen will get big enough that it will kind of compress their stomach, and so they'll note for a number of months that they just can't eat much without just feeling like they're completely full. And some patients, if they get advanced disease, will also feel sort of flu-like symptoms, fevers and the like. But that's usually pretty far down the line.
Really? I do want to remind anybody that's just joining us this morning here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We're talking with Dr. Jared Radick and Gail Sperling. And we're talking about CML. And that's something it's very slow growing cancer of the blood and bone marrow, correct?
Right.
Patients are actually diagnosed with the symptoms that are not really noticeable, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, that's what's so scary about it in a sense. But I mean, one of the big things that you just talked about is the white blood cells.
Yes. And luckily it's a rare disease. It happens, 2 in 100,000, but I think one of the things that this survey is showing is really translatable to most types of illnesses. I mean, cancer specifically, but most types of illnesses. And this survey looked at 100 docs who treat CML patients and 75 patients. And I think that the key features were while 100% of the physicians basically agreed that monitoring was a very important part of CML management, when you sort of ask the rubber meets the road question, only about a third of them actually tested patients once every 6 months or less. And again, we would like them to do it every 3 months. So there's a bit of a disconnect there. And the other disconnect is between what patients and physicians are saying and hearing. 70% of the patients said that they were proactively asking about PCR testing in their visit. But if you flip that around, only about 20% of the doctors heard that the patients were concerned about PCR testing. So I think there's two bits of education here that have to be done. One is educating physicians about the importance of these guidelines and adherence to them. And the other is educating physicians and patients about better ways to communicate to get each of their points across.
Wow, I think that's really important. I'm so glad that you're here to share that with us. Gail Sperling, you are a senior information specialist, and is this the information that you're trying to spread? Is it more prevalent in seniors? Well, yes, I think as Dr. Radich said, it's, you know, mostly CML is a disease of an aging population, although we certainly see patients in their, you know, 30s, 40s, and 50s, but mostly we see them after the age of 60. But the important thing is that there's, you know, just some really excellent information on CML available to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and some really important questions that can facilitate that open communication between physician and patient that can be downloaded from our website. And just we really want to encourage patients to take a very active role in their care. This is a very important relationship between your hematologist, oncologist, and the patient, and so it really needs to be one that's nurtured and the right questions are asked and open communication is encouraged.
Now, how well do patients understand the significance of this PCR testing? I mean, is it something that our insurance covers, or do they have to get that approved? How does that work? And I don't know which one of you would talk about.
Insurance covers. That's usually not the issue. And patients, I think, you know, it's certainly much better than it used to be, obviously. But probably about two-thirds of them, by this survey, understand, you know, why the testing is being done. You know, obviously interpreting the test itself when it comes out is not really their domain of expertise, but they understand the importance of testing, that a lower number is better than a higher number, that kind of stuff. So I think that's moved a long way.
Okay. And if, you know, somebody out there is going, oh, my gosh, you know, a high white cell count, is that always the answer, or
No. There are a lot of things that can cause a high white blood cell count. There are a few things that your and my white blood cell count is probably around 5,000 to 10,000, and often with CML cell diagnosis, it's 100,000 to 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many things will get it that high.
Okay. So if somebody does have that, what would be the first thing that they should do?
Well, if they had that, their doctors would pretty much uniformly do some of these testing that we talked about to try to determine what kind of leukemia it was or what kind of disorder.
Okay.
So that would probably pretty much be a common reflex among most of the physicians out there.
Okay. And the PCR test is actually a pretty common test out there right now?
Yeah. There's numerous labs that will do it now.
Okay, great. And now, what are the resources available for patients so that they can better understand what's going on and, you know, how to get help?
That's a great question. And I just
thank you.
Want to, you know, emphasize that the Leukemia Lymphoma Society has some excellent educational materials that can be accessed on our website. We also have the Information Resource Center, which is available 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, at 1-800-955-4572. And certainly our information specialists can, you know, do any kind of a one-on-one, you know, assistance. Sometimes we'll get a call. I just wanted to piggyback on something Dr. Radich said about the testing. And usually we will, you know, strongly encourage a patient, if they have a suspicion, to see their you know, family practitioner, and frequently a family practitioner might do a preliminary test and then be referred to a hematologist oncologist or a medical oncologist for any kind of further follow-up.
Okay. And again, Dr. Radich, the thing that you said, the spleen actually gets really enlarged,
mm-hmm.
and you feel full all the time. Would that be the only symptom?
No, sometimes people will feel tired. Sometimes people will have fevers. Weight loss sometimes, but that's usually for fairly advanced disease. In this country, the lion's share of disease is found sort of on a routine physical or getting blood work for some other cause.
Okay, well, perfect. I thank both of you for bringing this to our attention here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Where and how can my listeners and patients and physicians work together to improve this communication about CML management?
Well, there's obviously the Leukemia Lymphoma Society website, and then for physicians, there's a website, the abbreviation is the NCCN, the National Cancer Care Network, has a very big website on all types of leukemias and types of treatment strategies and algorithms.
Okay, and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society website is www.lls.org. And if I can say our phone number again,
please,
for the Information Resource Center, 1-800-955-4572.
And we always look at the brighter side of life. Tell us, how far have we really come? Are we moving forward to try and fight this?
Well, I mean, CML, it used to be that the only cure for CML was bone marrow transplantation, which is really can only be done for people who have donors and who are relatively younger. So in the 10 years that these types of pills that we described have come out, we've really completely changed how we treat this disease. Transplantation is very rare now. We're giving most of these patients a normal lifespan. And I think that you hear a lot in the press this concept of precision medicine, and this is really, in CML we've been doing this for years now, and that concept is identifying the type of mutation that's driving the disease, making a drug that affects that, and then using that mutation as a marker of the disease to monitor the patients. And I think that the stuff we're learning from CML and from this survey is really going to be put into play when we get to this level with some of the more common types of cancers, the breast cancer, the lung cancer, and the like. And I think the CML is essentially a poster child of what we're going to see down the line.
Well, I appreciate both of your help. And again, let's just keep moving forward, right?
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show.
Thank you both so much for your interest.
And I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you again.
Looking for a new restaurant to try in Camarillo? Join Mission Oaks Cafe for a fresh and local dining experience. Mission Oaks Cafe now features a new menu, elegant wine pairing nights, authentic Mexican tamale Tuesdays, the Build-A-Burger, ribeye Fridays, live music every weekend, and a full bar. Mission Oaks Cafe can also take care of all your catering orders, big or small. Open 7 days a week. Call 805-482-1022 to make a reservation. That's 805-482-1022. Visit them online at missionoakscafe.com.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life, where we talk about anything that can add value to our life. And today we've got Dr. Gerald Raddick joining us, and also Gail Sperling. And Dr. Raddick is MD, Clinical Research Division, Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center, and Gail Sperling is MPH and Senior Information Research Specialist. Today we're going to be talking about the current guidelines for the treatment of chronic, and I hope I can say this right, can you help me out here?
Myeloid,
okay,
yeah.
Leukemia. And for anyone out there that's just joining, it's actually a rare blood cancer. And so we're going to find out a little bit more about it, some of the tests and some of the findings. And, of course, this is always, we always think of things like this that could add some value in some way to a family member or to somebody that's, going through these tough times. So, again, welcome Dr. Raddick and Gail Sperling.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about both of yourselves. Dr. Raddick, you are a member of the Clinical Research Division?
Yes, I'm a physician that both takes care of leukemia patients, and I'm a laboratory physician, and I'm a geneticist. I was sort of involved in developing these tests that we're going to talk about today.
Great. And Gail Sperling?
And I'm an information specialist with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Wow, okay, great. And so tell us a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today. What are the key findings from this recent survey of the physicians and patients, right? And I guess the abbreviation is CML?
Correct. So let me just do a little background for your listeners.
Thank you.
Leukemia is a cancer of the blood cells. A CML is one of those types of leukemias. And before there was effective therapy, this is a type of leukemia that was fairly slow growing, but almost all patients would succumb to the disease in 6 to 7 years. Now we have really quite effective therapy that really has made this into a chronic disease where most patients can live near normal lifespans or even be cured. So it's been kind of a revolution.
Wow, that's amazing right there.
Yeah,
Look how far we've come.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the really interesting things about CML is that every case will have the same type of mutation that really drives the disease. And so that's why we have therapy now that targets that mutation. But that mutation is also a fingerprint that distinguishes the CML cells from normal cells. So we've now been able to develop tests that really can pick the needle out of the haystack. So you can actually now detect one CML cell in a background of up to a million normal cells in the peripheral blood. So you can now monitor patients when they're on therapy in a relatively non-invasive way and really see how their disease is responding and see if you need to change therapy or stay the course, or in some cases, for people who get spectacular responses, even get off therapy.
Really? So the importance of the PCR testing is really to manage and monitor it?
Correct.
What are the symptoms? I mean, let's back all the
right,
way up.
Right, right. So actually CML, most in developing countries, most CMLs are detected on sort of routine physicals. It's a disease, like most cancers, of aging. So the median age of diagnosis is in the mid-60s. And often people are actually feeling fine. They go to get a routine physical and the like, and their white blood cell count, your white blood cell count, mine runs somewhere between 5,000 to 10,000. They'll have a white blood cell count of 100,000, 200,000.
Is that a warning sign right there?
That's a huge warning sign. And when that would happen, then you would get confirmatory testing with some of these tests, for instance, the PCR test, that would, because the CML has a distinct genetic mutation that you can identify it as CML. And once you did that, you would put on specific types of therapy and then monitored with these tests.
And now, is there like tiredness with it? Is there any other signs?
Yeah, some patients, if they've really had the disease for a long time, their spleen gets large, and so often they'll be tired, and also they'll fill up quickly because their spleen will get big enough that it will kind of compress their stomach, and so they'll note for a number of months that they just can't eat much without just feeling like they're completely full. And some patients, if they get advanced disease, will also feel sort of flu-like symptoms, fevers and the like. But that's usually pretty far down the line.
Really? I do want to remind anybody that's just joining us this morning here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We're talking with Dr. Jared Radick and Gail Sperling. And we're talking about CML. And that's something it's very slow growing cancer of the blood and bone marrow, correct?
Right.
Patients are actually diagnosed with the symptoms that are not really noticeable, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, that's what's so scary about it in a sense. But I mean, one of the big things that you just talked about is the white blood cells.
Yes. And luckily it's a rare disease. It happens, 2 in 100,000, but I think one of the things that this survey is showing is really translatable to most types of illnesses. I mean, cancer specifically, but most types of illnesses. And this survey looked at 100 docs who treat CML patients and 75 patients. And I think that the key features were while 100% of the physicians basically agreed that monitoring was a very important part of CML management, when you sort of ask the rubber meets the road question, only about a third of them actually tested patients once every 6 months or less. And again, we would like them to do it every 3 months. So there's a bit of a disconnect there. And the other disconnect is between what patients and physicians are saying and hearing. 70% of the patients said that they were proactively asking about PCR testing in their visit. But if you flip that around, only about 20% of the doctors heard that the patients were concerned about PCR testing. So I think there's two bits of education here that have to be done. One is educating physicians about the importance of these guidelines and adherence to them. And the other is educating physicians and patients about better ways to communicate to get each of their points across.
Wow, I think that's really important. I'm so glad that you're here to share that with us. Gail Sperling, you are a senior information specialist, and is this the information that you're trying to spread? Is it more prevalent in seniors?
Well, yes, I think as Dr. Radich said, it's, you know, mostly CML is a disease of an aging population, although we certainly see patients in their, you know, 30s, 40s, and 50s, but mostly we see them after the age of 60. But the important thing is that there's, you know, just some really excellent information on CML available to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and some really important questions that can facilitate that open communication between physician and patient that can be downloaded from our website. And just we really want to encourage patients to take a very active role in their care. This is a very important relationship between your hematologist, oncologist, and the patient, and so it really needs to be one that's nurtured and the right questions are asked and open communication is encouraged.
Now, how well do patients understand the significance of this PCR testing? I mean, is it something that our insurance covers, or do they have to get that approved? How does that work? And I don't know which one of you would talk about.
Insurance covers. That's usually not the issue. And patients, I think, you know, it's certainly much better than it used to be, obviously. But probably about 2/3 of them, by this survey, understand, you know, why the testing is being done. You know, obviously, interpreting the test itself when it comes out is not really their domain of expertise, but they understand the importance of testing, that a lower number is better than a higher number, that kind of stuff. So I think that's moved a long way.
Okay. And if, you know, somebody out there is going, oh, my gosh, you know, a high white cell count, is that always the answer, or
No. There are a lot of things that can cause a high white blood cell count. There are a few things that your and my white blood cell count is probably around 5,000 to 10,000, and often with CML cell diagnosis, it's 100,000 to 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many things will get it that high.
Okay. So if somebody does have that, what would be the first thing that they should do?
Well, if they had that, their doctors would pretty much uniformly do some of these testing that we talked about to try to determine what kind of leukemia it was or what kind of disorder.
Okay.
So that would probably pretty much be a common reflex among most of the physicians out there.
Okay. And the PCR test is actually a pretty common test out there right now?
Yeah. There's numerous labs that will do it now.
Okay, great. And now, what are the resources available for patients so that they can better understand what's going on and, you know, how to get help?
That's a great question. And I just
thank you.
Want to, you know, emphasize that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society has some excellent educational materials that can be accessed on our website. We also have the Information Resource Center, which is available 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, at 1-800-955-4572, and certainly our information specialists can, you know, do any kind of a one-on-one, you know, assistance. Sometimes we'll get a call. I just wanted to piggyback on something Dr. Radich said about the testing, and usually we will, you know, strongly encourage a patient, if they have a suspicion, to see their, you know, family practitioner, and frequently a family practitioner might do a preliminary test and then be referred to a hematologist oncologist or a medical oncologist for any kind of further follow-up.
Okay. And again, Dr. Radich, the thing that you said, the spleen actually gets really enlarged,
mm-hmm.
and you feel full all the time. Would that be the only symptom?
No, sometimes people feel tired. Sometimes people have fevers. Weight loss sometimes, but that's usually for fairly advanced disease. In this country, the lion's share of disease is found sort of on a routine physical or getting blood work for some other cause.
Okay, well, perfect. I thank both of you for bringing this to our attention here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Where and how can my listeners and patients and physicians work together to improve this communication about CML management?
Well, there's obviously the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society website, and then for physicians, there's a website, the abbreviation is the NCCN, the National Cancer Care Network, has a very big website on all types of leukemias and types of treatment strategies and algorithms.
Okay, and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society website is www.lls.org. And if I can say our phone number again,
please,
for the Information Resource Center, 1-800-955-4572.
And we always look at the brighter side of life. Tell us, how far have we really come? Are we moving forward to try and fight this?
Well, I mean, CML, it used to be that the only cure for CML was bone marrow transplantation, which is really can only be done for people who have donors and are who relatively younger. So in the 10 years that these types of pills that we described have come out, we've really completely changed how we treat this disease. Transplantation is very rare now. We're giving most of these patients a normal lifespan. And I think that you hear a lot in the press this concept of precision medicine, and this is really, in CML we've been doing this for years now, and that concept is identifying the type of mutation that's driving the disease, making a drug that affects that, and then using that mutation as a marker of the disease to monitor the patients. And I think that the stuff we're learning from CML and from this survey is really going to be put into play when we get to this level with some of the more common types of cancers, the breast cancer, the lung cancer, and the like. And I think the CML is essentially a poster child of what we're going to see down the line.
Well, I appreciate both of your help. And, again, let's just keep moving forward, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show.
Thank you both so much for your interest.
And I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you
again. Okay, take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Happy holidays, everyone, and a Merry Christmas. And I hope that you spend lots and lots of great time with your family and friends and loved ones. And, of course, we thank you so much for being a part of the Kim Pagano Show. And, of course, we're going to end this moment with a moment of happiness. And, of course, people may forget what you say, and they may forget what you've done for them, but they will never forget how you made them feel. With that, I hope you make everybody feel amazing, and I hope you feel amazing. You've been listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life, here in the 805, and we'll talk to you later.